Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Taking your unconquered territories. And I remember very vividly in the second service, he touched very much on prayers. That's actually where I want to center my sermon today. He touched very much on prayers and the importance of prayers in taking the territories that God has given unto you. And I also remember in Tuesday service, for those of us that were here or for those of us that joined online, Pastor also touched on prayers. You know that scripture where the man brought his son to his disciples and he said, and they asked for healing, basically. They were expecting the disciples to heal the son and they could not. And, you know, by the time Jesus came into the scene, thank God, and they went and asked Jesus and said, why couldn't we do this? And then Jesus said, because of your unbelief. But then he went on to say that this kind goeth not but what? By prayers and by fasting. So there are some kinds, okay. And see, that tells me something again. Pastor, you know, to be honest, I was telling Pastor Mide that Pastor is saying exactly some of the things I want to say. And but Pastor, again, is emphasizing on prayers. And you see, that tells me something, and this is not to scare anyone. That tells me something, that we're in a time of warfare. Again, I say that this is not to scare anyone. Because Jesus told his disciples, he says, be of good cheer. He says, for I have overcome the world. So we are in a season of warfare. And you see, the Bible has given us keys, one of which is fervency in prayers. Scripture says in Matthew, somewhere in Matthew, it says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And it says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you set loose on earth shall be also set loose in heaven. So one of the keys that Jesus has given unto us is the keys of prayer. Fervency in prayer. And if you have been following services this year, Pastor is emphasizing on the need for fervency. Because why? The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence. But it's the violent people that will take it by force. The violent people are the ones that are going to come out victorious, not the ones that are lackadaisical. And so the title of my message this morning, honestly, I struggled to come up with a title, but Pastor helps me. Thank God. The title of my sermon this morning is The Science of Fervent Prayers. Sorry, just take it the way it is. Sorry. It's nothing deep. Okay, The Science of Fervent Prayers. And I'm going to be listing out, you know, some things that God has laid in my heart, things that I feel or things that I think we should know. And all that. Some of them we're actually familiar with, but it doesn't hurt to reiterate these things, you know, over and over again. Now, the first point I have is that to break an evil pattern, you need to establish a consistent cycle or a consistent pattern of fervent prayers. Now, please, there are two words that I want you to take notes during the course of this sermon. One is fervency. The other one is consistency. I'm going to say that again. To break a cycle, an evil cycle, or to break an evil pattern, then you need to set up a structure of consistent fervency in prayers. Consistent fervency in prayers. And you see, we have, there are so many patterns in the Bible. And I know that Pastor always says is that when it happens once, it's an occurrence. When it happens twice, it's a pattern. And then it happens over and over again, then it's a foundation. Right? We've heard this thing from Pastor over and over again. And all that. There are different patterns in the Bible. For example, King David, right? We all love him. King David was... he had nine... I'm going to use a word now, but let me not use it. He had 900 wives... and then 300 concubines. Oh, sorry, King Solomon, not David, apologies. He had 900 wives and 300 concubines. His son, Rehoboam, had many wives and then several concubines. many wives, and there was something that was very common between both of them. Their wives led them away from God, turned their hearts away from God. Now, that's a pattern. I know we want to attribute it to, it's an African thing. No, an African is allowed to marry more than one wife. Hey. it's a pattern. And you see, like Pastor always says, when it happens, when it's an occurrence. So when you see something that happens once, I don't agree that you should let it graduate to the next extent before you start battling with that thing in the place of prayers. When you see something that happens once, then it is time to take a posture of prayers, fervent prayers. Please note, I'm emphasizing on the word fervent, because the Bible says that we should be fervent in spirit. Now we see another pattern. Okay, so this is the example of David. David defiled Uriah's wife. I believe that's his name. That's his name, right? The name of the woman's husband. And then killed the man. Right? We see his son, Amnon, defiled his sister, Tamar. We also see Absalom defiled his father's concubines openly. That's a disgrace. And then not just that, he also killed his brother, Amnon. Now, that's an evil pattern there. An evil pattern there. And like I said, when it happens once, it's time to take a posture in the place of prayers to combat it. Hallelujah. But you see, we see a different man in Genesis. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 11 that Sarah was barren. And then we see somewhere in Genesis chapter 24 or 25 that Rebecca was barren. But what did Isaac do? The Bible says he entreated the Lord for his wife and she conceived. The only way, or one of the ways that you can break a cycle, an evil cycle, or an evil pattern, is to combat it in the place of fervency in prayers. And it has to be consistent. It has to be persistent as well. Hallelujah. The second point I have, I'm going to stay a bit here. And please just follow me. Is that prayer has progressions. There are progressions in the place of prayers. And you see, these progressions or these levels, they are hinged on the weight of your requests and the oppositions or the resistances that are tied to that thing that you are seeking in the place of prayers. Again, prayers have progressions or levels. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, very popular scripture, it says, "Ask and you shall receive." He says, "Seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you," right? He also says in somewhere in Amplified Version, he says, "Keep on asking." Now that suggests consistency, it's in present continuous. He says, "Keep on asking, keep on seeking, and then keep on what? Finding." Now let me explain. Prayer has progressions, right? There are some things that you can ask God for. And like I said, all the things are hinged on the weight of your request. There are some things that you can ask God for just by asking, and then you receive it, because the requirement at that particular time is just for you to ask, and then the Bible says you receive. Now there are other things that you can ask God for, and God will require that you take a step further. Let me give an example. Let's say you are believing God for, you're asking God for a job that pays maybe 200,000 naira per month, and you're saying, "Oh God, give me this job." Because why? You want to partner, or you want to be among the partners of Harvest Word or in Harvest Word Assembly, so that the work of God can keep moving. So that the kingdom of God can be established, right? In Maryland, this is our catchment area. That's your request, right? And saying, "God," and you're praying, you're asking, "God, give me this job. God, give me this job." And God is saying, "See, because of the weight of this, your request, you might need to take a journey into MFM camp, or a journey into the mountain, whatever mountain that we have in Nigeria, or you take a journey into redemption camp, and you need to maybe go there on a fast, take your Bible. You're only allowed to drink water, because the weight of this request, there are oppositions, because see, the devil doesn't want the kingdom of God to move and all. So the Lord will not require that you take a 3-day journey, right, in a solemn or a quiet area. And you begin to search the scriptures. Because why? God wants you to find the secret to prosperity. He wants you to find the secrets to prosper. This one is not based on salary, because the Bible says that my city is not through salary. My city's through prosperity will yet spread abroad. So in this level of prayers, you don't need to ask. You need to seek. You need to go on a consistent search in the scriptures to find out the secrets to prosperity. It's not salary. And I'm speaking to somebody here. It's not salary. It's not salary. This one is prosperity. Our Father in the Lord, he was looking for something. That time he was very poor, really. I'm sure we all know his name. He was looking for something. And then why? He had wisdom. He went into the forest, took his Bible, took a book at the time on prosperity, and instead praying, Rakatala, Regedeledia, Lord, open my eyes to see this. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. And was praying. The first day he didn't. The second day he didn't. The third day he saw it. And he shouted, yay! I can never be poor. We all know him. It's consistent search. At this level, you need to go on a search. You need to go on a meditative search of the scriptures. Now, the third level, the Bible says, keep on knocking and the door will be open. See, at this level, you need to come face to face with your adversaries. Jesus got to the gates. David was prophesying in Psalm chapter 24. And he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. He said, the King of glory shall come in. The gates did not answer. They replied and said, who is this King of glory? And it took Jesus to speak again, because see, David was prophesying. It took Jesus to speak again. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And he says, who is this King of glory? It's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. You need to face to face with that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. He says, but there are many adversaries. You see, the oppositions at this level, they are ruthless, they are stubborn, they are wicked. And let me tell you, until that door is open, your deliverance is not complete. Until that door is open, your deliverance is not complete. You have to keep knocking. That's what the Bible says. It said, keep on knocking. It didn't say knock once. It said, keep on knocking. It is when you keep on knocking that the door will be opened unto you. Let me show us a scripture in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Now, this is the story of when they apprehended Peter, right? At first, they had apprehended James. Right, and they killed him, and then they apprehended Peter. The Bible says that the church began to pray without ceasing, right, for the deliverance of Peter. Now let's jump to verse 8. It says, and the angel said unto him, guard thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When, this verse 10, when they were past the first gate, or the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leaded unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he says, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose son's name was Mark. Please, let's follow this part very, very carefully. Where many were gathered together praying. Now, verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in. Did you see that? She opened not the gate because she was excited. And ran in and told Peter, and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now look at the discussion of the people there. Verse 15. He says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. Now that's where that discussion ended. Now verse 16. He said, but Peter continued knocking. Peter continued knocking. Remember that concluded that it is his angel. There's no point. Meanwhile, she didn't open the door when she saw him, or when she thought that she saw him. Now, this is what I think. Peter continued knocking. This is what I think. If Peter had not continued banging on that door, it's very possible that in the prison where he was locked up, they would have found him, right? And they would send out a search party to go and look for him. And believe me, they will get him. And because they have gotten him the second time and he escaped the first time, this time they will deal with him. But the Bible says that he continued knocking. And that's when they came and realized that this is actually Peter. I'm going to emphasize my point again. Keep on knocking. And that word is for someone here. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. And the door will be opened unto you. Hallelujah. Okay. Thirdly, and Pastor actually said this during the first service, but I'll say it again. Now, if you want to grow in stature in the realm of the Spirit, then you have to be fervent in prayers. Because why? Prayer is what determines a man's stature in the realm of the Spirit. I'm going to give you an example of a video that I watched. I'm sure some of us, I shared it with the prayer team. I'm sure some of us would have watched it. Now, when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the heavens were opened and a voice came down. And what happened? The Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, look at, just notice the progression of that statement. Now, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of the Father came forth again and he said, "This is my beloved Son." He says, "Hear ye him." Now, Jesus, during the course of his journey, and of course, without exempting the importance of fervency in prayer, had attained a stature in the Spirit where God would proclaim and say, his voice, everything that he says from now on has now become truth. And nobody can resist it. Not nobody, but no creation can resist it. He had attained that stature in the realm of the Spirit. I watched a video. Maybe some of us would have watched it. About an ex-Satanist, right? And all that. And the guy was saying that the way they are able to judge the weight of a man's stature in the Spirit is not through his prayer life. Sorry, not through his preaching. Not necessarily through his teaching grace. But through his prayer. That's how they are able to recognize a man that has a weighty stature in the realm of the Spirit. Through prayers. And see, he gave an example. Not gave an example, but something that happened then. And he said, there was this church that moved into the area, their area where they were operating and all. And that church was a praying church. And not only that, the pastor of the church, whenever that man speaks, it's like his voice, I don't know, when the Bible says that the voice of God is like a voice of many waters. So it's like his voice, I don't know, vibrates in the realm of the Spirit. And it gets them scared. And all. And so they're like, "Where is this man of God? Who is this man of God?" And then their leader at the time told them that, "See, you need to vacate this place and then go somewhere far so that you will not hurt yourself." But you see, they didn't stop there. You see, the enemy is so strategic. Oh God. The enemy is so strategic. They didn't stop there. They went to go and look for the secrets of this man of God so that they can bring his voice down. And what did they do? They got the man's sermons, got his videos, and started watching intently. What is the secret to this man of God? Why is that when his voice sounds, there's always an earthquake in the kingdom of darkness and all that? And they stay watching. And they realized that the man had a group of people, a group of praying people. They were raising concerted prayers every time for this man of God. They were united in purpose. And that was the secret to this. Now, the man had a prayer life, right? But you see, these people, it was sort of like an enhancement to his voice in the realm of the Spirit. And what did they do? They began to bring in things like offense, unforgiveness, strife into their gathering. And that was how that thing dissolved. And that was how they were able to bring that man's voice in the realm of the Spirit. The man had no meaning. When he speaks, nothing happens. And see, this is why we always say things like, pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. See, if you're here, you claim that you love Pastor Gwenga and you are not praying for him, you are not doing well. This is why we say things like, pray for your pastor. See, and let me tell you, this year, the devil is out trying to get pastors. We need to realize that. And it's time to raise prayers for our pastors. Hallelujah. What was the point again? I said that if you want to have stature in the spirit, right, you have to establish a consistent pattern of fervency in prayers. Hallelujah. Now, fourthly, prayer contributes to enhancing a man's sensitivity. We all know that. Prayer contributes. And so no wonder Jesus knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. No wonder Jesus knew the thoughts of the disciples and was able to respond to their thoughts. And you'll be wondering, what kind of man is this? What kind of spirit does he have? And Pastor has said this several times, that you see, you can pray to a certain extent and your eyes will be open in the realm of the spirit and you just begin to see things. You're not begging to see them. You just begin to see them. Elijah prayed. See, prayer contributes to a man's sensitivity. Your eyes will be open in the realm of the spirit. Elijah prayed for that his servant. He said, open his eyes that he may see. And the guy's eyes were open. If you want to see more, then you have to pray more. If you want to see more, then you have to pray more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, prayer helps you build a strong resistance to temptation. I'm going to explain this one. Prayer helps you build a strong resistance to temptations. Now, Jesus faced various temptations in the Bible. One of the very vivid ones that we know is when he came out of the 40-day fasting and prayer, right? And the devil came for him in the most vulnerable state. But you see, that was not, because the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. Now, there are other temptations. But you see, one of the very dangerous temptations that Jesus had was the one on the cross. Okay, let's read this one. Just follow me, please. Luke 23 and verse 39. Luke 23 and 39. The Bible says, and one of the malefactors. Now remember that there were two other people that were crucified, right, with Jesus. It says, one of the malefactors which were hanged, he said, look at the choice of words. He says, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. One of these people railed on, and please, I want us to check the meaning of railed on. When you see rail on someone, please, can someone please check that? This guy railed, and see, if Jesus had given attention to that man, and there was a 1 second of offense in Jesus' heart. You see, Jesus was in a very vulnerable state. But not just that, a very vital state in eternity. And every decision that he makes from here forward would either impact the plans and the purposes of God negatively or positively. If Jesus had harbored 1 second of offense in his heart, he would have permanently destroyed the plans and the purposes of God and will not be here. He wouldn't be here. And Jesus got to the place of Gethsemane. The Bible says that he took 3 of his disciples there. And what happened? The Bible says that he went yonder to pray. And then told them, he said, tarry with me, right, while I go yonder and pray. And he prayed for, I think, maybe about an hour or so. And he came back and found these people sleeping. And he says, couldn't you tarry for me for about an hour? And what did he say? He said, pray, lest he fall into temptation. In other words, one of the things that would help a man build resistance against temptation is maybe if he prays 1 hour. It's just me. Because why? The Bible says that he said, couldn't you tarry with me for 1 hour? And that was what helped Jesus Christ to the cross. I say this again. If he had harbored a second of offense, the Bible says that man railed on him. Please. To scold angrily. And he didn't just do it once. To criticize. He didn't just do it once. This man kept doing it. It's a continuous thing. Devil came for Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Came for him. came for him. Hey, and he came for us too. But Jesus, no. He prayed. Prayer helps you to build a strong resistance against temptations. Things like offense. And let me say this here. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. One of the devices of the devil is offense. See, in this age and time, it will come. And I hope you know that what killed John the Baptist was not really the physical things that we see in the Bible. It was offense. Do we know that? It was offense that killed him. And so if you are here, you are struggling with offense and strife and malice, unforgiveness, see, you are opening a wide door for the devil to come through. But that's not us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I will spend a bit of time here. And please, just follow me, please. Okay, let me say this one before I say that one. Now, the strength of prayer is in its consistency and sacrifice. The strength of prayer is in its consistency and sacrifice. The Bible says that men ought always to pray and not faint. The Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "What pray without ceasing." The strength of prayer is in its consistency and sacrifice. You don't pray once and then you leave it. The Bible again, Matthew 7:7, it says, keep on, keep on, keep on until something happens. You pray until something happens. You pray until something happens. You don't just stop. Prayer is a consistent, concerted effort. And I also said that the strength of prayer is in sacrifice. Now, there's nowhere in scripture that says that it is more important to pray in the night than to pray in the day. There's nowhere in scripture really that says that. But you see, Jesus Christ is the pattern man. He's the pattern son. In other words, everything that Jesus Christ did, we should follow it. There's a reason he did all those things. And if Jesus prayed in the night, the Bible says that he will wake up long before day. And he will go up onto the mountain and he will pray and he will pray and he will commune with the Father. There is a reason why Jesus did that. There is a reason why the Bible says that while men slept, the enemy came and saw tears. It is normal to sleep at night. That's the truth. Because you are tired. You've worked during the day. It's normal. It's legitimate. But you see, the strength of prayers is in the sacrifice. You see, for you to sacrifice that very vital time in humanity, in human history, where people have to sleep, then I'm sure there will be loads of power that will come with it. Prayer is in its consistency. The strength of prayer is in its consistency and sacrifice. Now, this point, please, let's follow me here because I'll be a bit... Now, prayer is partnership between God and man. I'm going to list several points under this point. Prayer is man partnering with God. I know we are used to the definition that says prayer is communication with God and all that. That's so true. Because it's not, it's a dialogue, right? It's not an epilogue and all. But you see, if we can understand that prayer is also man partnering with God, oh my God, there will be a great revival on the earth. The first point underneath that point is that without God, it is true that without God, man cannot do anything. The Bible says that man will not prevail, right, with his own strength. Jesus Christ said that, I can of my own self do nothing. Everything I do is what I see my Father do. Now, there are two statements in that particular verse or scripture. Man cannot do anything without God. But it is also true that God cannot do anything without man. I know what that means. It means that God needs you. Whilst we need God, God needs us. God cannot, and will not. Now I explain that. God cannot and will not do anything without the cooperation or the agreement of man or of men. And Pastor was saying in Tuesday Bible study, this past week or last week, he said that spirits need a vessel to express themselves, right? And their highest form of oppression is through human beings. It's the same with God. God is spirit. God needs a human vessel to partner with, to bring his plans and purposes on the earth. He cannot, in fact, God is illegal on earth. Let me say that. As a spirit, he's illegal. He needs a vessel to partner with. And why did I say God will not? Now, look at this. In Genesis chapter, let me read it. In Genesis chapter 1, just look at this statement very carefully. Genesis chapter 1, he says, so God created man, verse 27, he says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Look at this again. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything, living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's read this in another version, maybe Amplified, please. In the King James. Let's read it in Amplified. Genesis 1 from verse 27 to 28. Amplified. Okay. God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God created he them, created him. He created him, male and female created them. And God blessed them and said unto them, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Let's read it in Message. Okay, message. God spoke. Let us, look at where God came in. He says, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so that they can be responsible for the fish in the sea and birds in the air and the cattle and, yes, earth itself and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. Now, do we look at that? See, where God's assignment came in was when he said, let us create man in our own image and after our likeness. After that, he allocated complete and total control of the earth to man. You see, God never violates his word. And that's why if he cannot see a man that he can partner with on earth, nothing will happen. Because why? With a man, man cannot do anything without God. And God cannot do anything without man. The Bible says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. And it begins with whatsoever you bind on earth. It didn't start with heaven first. It says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And then whatsoever you set loose on earth shall be set loose. See, it's like a man that built a company from scratch. And he built it to a very successful state. Right? He's the owner of the company. He founded it. He built it. Right? But at a certain point in time, he now allocated or took himself off the board of directors. Or took himself off the decision makers in the company. And handed it over to a group of people. And then not only that, they also signed a document to that effect. Now, whether the man likes it or not, whether he founded the company or not, whether he built it to a very successful state, at this point in time, he can't make decisions there. Except maybe they now say, okay, what's your opinion? But in terms of making a decision directly to that company, the man cannot. Because why? They have signed a document that he has handed over this company to a group of people or to a person. Therefore, he has no control over that particular company. That's what God did. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's. God is the owner, we know. But in terms of dominion and control over this earth, God gave it to us. And you see, the Bible says, because the day I saw this thing, I screamed. The Bible says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, that's not speaking about physical fish. It says, let them have dominion over the fowls of the air. Not speaking about physical fowls. Let them have dominion over the cattle. Speaking about the land space. And then he said, let them even have dominion over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. See, God gave us dominion over the systems in the airspace. God gave us dominion over the systems that control the land. God gave us dominion and control over the systems that control the sea. Listen, COVID-19 doesn't have rights to enter your system, to enter your environment. Doesn't have a right. Airborne diseases, Ebola, they have no right to invade your space. Because Jesus Christ gave you dominion over the fish of the sea. The river bank, the rivers, they don't have a right to overflow this bank and they begin to flood your homes. This is where we have to understand our dominion and our authority as Christians. Over the fish of the sea, over the airspace, the land space, we have dominion. 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 Is it tuberculosis? Never. Not in my space. Not in my space. Is it HIV? Not in my space. Not in my space. My home can't be flooded. It's not possible. It's not possible. Hallelujah. So, like I said, prayer is partnership between God and man. And we see several examples like that in scripture. First, we see the children of Israel. The Bible says that God heard their affliction. And then God needed a man to partner with. And he went to Moses. And Moses was, you know, just giving excuses. And you know, I'm a stammerer. You know, this one, this one, this one. And God is like, hey, oh yeah, take Aaron and go. And that was how the children of Israel were what? They were delivered. He got there, when they got to the valley of the Red Sea. He said, what can we do here? The children of Israel, they're talking. What can we do here? And God said, you see, God needs a man. See, God will always need a man to breath his plans and the purposes of God on earth. And God said, that rod that is in your hand, God, he can't do anything. He had to tell him to do it. And he had to obey. Because see, to birth the plans and purposes of God on earth, there are two things, or let me say three, that God needs. One is alignment. Another one is obedience. And then you can add prayer. But prayer is a way that you can align. Those three things, they are very vital in birthing the plans and purposes of God on the earth. And God told Moses, he said, stretch forth your rod, and the seas are divided. And then the children of Israel were able to pass through. And the Egyptian soldiers were coming. And they were shouting. And then God commanded him and said, that rod in your hand, take it and point there again. And that's how all those people... See, God will always need a man to partner with him. We can see the same example about, you know, the children of Jericho. God needed them to shout. He can't come here and be shouting by himself now. He's a spirit. He needs a man. God needs you. Tell your neighbor, say, God needs you. God needs you. God will always need a man. Look at the breath of Jesus Christ. He needed Mary to align, right? He needed Joseph to also obey in certain areas. We see that in scriptures. You see, but we see two people in the book of Luke or John, thereabouts. One is called Simon. Another one is called Anna, the prophetess. Now, these two people were very vital to birth the plans and purposes with respect to bringing Jesus Christ into humanity or into the earth. And I know that some of us will say that, and there are some things that is just entirely up to God. I mean, I don't know. And there are some things that will require God and man. They are, you know, they try to separate those things. And they give an example about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's birth was entirely up to God. I don't believe that. Because Mary needed to align. God needed to find a Mary. God needed to also give Joseph instruction and say, no, the one that this one is carrying, you better align here. You better obey here. And then those two, the Bible speaks, the Bible talks about Simon. He said this man had been praying in the temple, fasting in the temple. The Bible says he was waiting, speaking about prayer, for the consolation of Israel. And he kept praying for years. And then when they presented Jesus to him, he said, yeah, now I can go. His mission was complete. God needs a man to partner with, whether it's in prayer or in alignment or in obedience. God always needs a man. Look at the prophetess Anna. Same thing as well. She was praying for years after she lost her husband. She was praying. And then Jesus Christ came. See, I strongly believe that the birth of Jesus Christ was not entirely up to God. Man had to come into the picture. Man had to come into the picture. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor again and say, God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. Now, why do we need to partner with God? And this is your star ending off. Why do we need to partner with God? Let's look at Ezekiel 22 from verse 30 to 31. Ezekiel 22 from verse 30 to 31. Don't know if we're there. Okay, look at this, verse 30. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Look at what happened. He said, but I found none. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 31. He said, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. That's gone off. Okay. With the fire of my wrath, their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. God was looking for a man to stand in the gap for this people, and he found none. Wow. Wow. Why do we need to partner with God? So that people's lives can be preserved. And see, if all your prayers, let me say this at this point, if all your prayers are targeted towards self, you're on a long thing. God needs you. And see, let me say this one here. Before we start asking God for nations, right? Before I start saying, God, give me Scotland or I die. Before we start asking God for nations, there is a potential nation that God has given unto you, and that's your family. Why did I say that? The Bible says in Isaiah 60 and verse 21. It says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a mighty nation. Before you start asking God for Nigeria and asking God for United Kingdom, start with your family. Because you see, to whom much is given, much is also expected. So God expects, see, God sees you as the watcher and the savior of that home. Start from there first. There is a potential nation in every family, whether it is nuclear or extended. There is a potential nation there. You see, so God sought for a man, right? To stand in the gap, and there was nobody. And what happened? They lost their lives. See, this year, channel your prayers towards kingdom advancements. Nobody is saying that you should not ask God for your needs. No, that's not what you're saying. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its establishment or its righteousness. And it says, all these other things that we run after, all these other things that we put our minds upon, and we are so at an unease when we don't get them. He said, all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let majority of your prayers be targeted towards souls, towards kingdom advancement, towards the establishment of the kingdom of God here on earth. And you see all these things. You need to prove God this year. All these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. The Bible also says in Matthew, Pastor quoted that scripture in the first service. It says, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. And it says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. I don't understand. Is it that Jesus cannot see that we need men? What is the problem? Why do we need to tell him? He says, no. But you see, God will need you to partner with him. And he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers to his harvest. Now, he didn't say he will send pastors. Please hear me. He didn't say he will send prophets. He didn't say he will send evangelists. Because we have so many people that bear these titles and they are not laboring. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers to his harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, why do we need to partner with God? To preserve generations. Let me summarize the story. In the book of Esther, the Bible says that Haman saw, because he started getting jealous of Mordecai, so he started targeting him. And he said, Haman saw that there was a group of people that were scattered abroad. And he got to know that these people were Jews, Esther's people, and all that. And he began to plan towards eliminating every one of them. The Bible says that the plan was to kill the men, was to kill the women, and then to kill the children, and to also take all of their possessions and their properties. Do you know the implication of that? It was going to eliminate generations. Because in one man, there's a generation. In another man, there's a generation. It was going to wipe out generations. And then Mordecai heard it and told Esther that, see, don't think that you are here for anything. You are here to just be doing beauty in the palace. He says you are here for an important time in history. And I'm speaking to somebody here. That particular place that you are, that you are disregarding, you are there. You are there. God has put you there for a reason. You need to find it. And Mordecai told Esther, and what did she do? She set up a 3-day fast, 3-day prayer and fasting, and all that. And we know the end of that story. That plan was turned around, and Haman and his people suffered for it. See, prayers will preserve generations. Prayers, if Esther had not gone into a 3-day prayer and fasting, that generation would have become obsolete, completely obsolete. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, why do we need to partner with God for deliverance? For the deliverance of people. We read about James, how the church didn't do anything, and then James died. And then they captured Peter. And the Bible says that they began to pray without ceasing for him. And an angel went to the prison and delivered him. We saw Paul and Silas. We see Paul and Silas as well. They were apprehended and they were tied and put in, locked up in prison. And they began to pray. And see, prayer is partnership with God. We need to, and you see, if we realize this thing, it will be easy for us to prevail in the place of prayers. That really God needs us. God needs us to birth his agenda here on earth. Hallelujah. We saw that they were delivered. Why do we need God to birth, and I said this earlier, to birth his plans and purposes of God on earth? And we see that in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. Go and read this, Elijah's story. Lastly, why, before I round off, why do we need to partner with God for a revival? Hallelujah. And honestly, this topic is so dear to my heart. For a revival here on earth. Let's read 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If you are there, okay, look at it. It says, if my people, why can't God help us to do it now? It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. It says, then, now, it didn't take prayer away. It says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That healing of land is speaking about a revival. But then God needs people to pray. God needs people to pray. Lastly, the cost of prayerlessness. Or really, the cost of not partnering with God. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, Satan needed a vessel to invade the earth. And Pastor mentioned something like this in Tuesday service. He needed a vessel to invade the earth. What happened? He came through the serpents, right? And then he went straight to Eve. And then began to tell her different things. And you see, Eve was not discerning enough to know that this is not the snake that you see every day. This is not the serpent you see every day. Because really, they had a relationship. I mean, we saw that Adam was the one that gave them names. So there was a certain level of relationship that he had. Why? Because there was no sin then. Everybody was just, you know, lovey-dovey and all that. Eve was not discerning enough to know that this is another being that is speaking through this creature. The Bible says that she also gave to her husband, and her husband ate. And you see, Pastor always say this stuff. That, you see, there are so many things that Adam didn't know because he just grew up and found himself as a mature man. So it is very possible that Adam did not know the importance of prayer with respect to heightening your discernment. And so they could not discern that there was another being that was speaking through this creature. And what happened? They fell. And Satan invaded the earth. And that had a generational consequence. For years, many years, humanity, they were under the dominion and the control of Satan. And Satan pervaded the earth through sin, through poverty, through sickness. It took Jesus Christ. And that's why I mentioned that one of the deadliest temptations that Jesus Christ faced at the cross of Calvary
was that guy that kept pressing him. That guy that kept pressing him. And Jesus had allowed one atom of offense that would have completely nullified the plans and the purposes of God on the earth. We're going to rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost this morning. You see, the lack of prayer, the lack of consistency in prayer can have a generational consequence.